The internet's amazing. Anybody can be a star.
Yeah, so just prepare to...
It'll be great.
It'll be perfect. Yeah, so
y'all motherfuckers don't watch us play throughout the year, to tell you the truth.
Whee!
I'm gonna be real with you, and I don't care if I get fined.
That
train is off the tracks.
Who doesn't love the bouncy castle?
Hitler. Just prepare to. Just prepare to be awash in unbeatable goodness.
Welcome, Pacers fans. You are listening to The Undebeatables, your semi-weekly Pacers podcast. And this is episode 173, coming from Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm your host, Joey Gafrida, the man behind the dials and season ticket holder. This show, we're talking about Blake Griffin, LeBron James, and the race at the bottom of the playoff brackets. Joining me are our three analysts, coast to coast, like buttered toast. First from the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., it's the doctor, Jason Triplett.
What is up, Pacer fans? What is up, Undebeatables? Getting psyched for the Final Four this weekend. Not sure we know all of the teams at this point in time, but Villanova made it. Repping the Big East. Congrats to you guys.
From Indianapolis, Indiana, he's a Rittenhouse bartender, mixing up the drinks in the crappy jingles, John Colson.
What is up, Pacer Nation? It is Thirsty Thursday. Drink up.
And coming from Eugene, Oregon, out west, our enforcer, John Harper.
What's going on, boys? Well, it is official, Jason. It's going to be you and me in the fantasy finals. We will finally get to crown an Undebeatables champion in fantasy basketball.
That's right. That's right. Worst of luck to you, my friend, over the next few weeks.
Thank you. Thank you for that. I've been saying all year it's your year, so this is my long con to jinx you, so there you go. Good luck.
You definitely put in the groundwork. So. Kudos to that.
So this week we got some interesting news, our hot button topic here. Natural Environmental Research Council from Britain, they're putting in a new research vessel. They're gonna it's gonna be out 2017, ready to go. But they want the public's feedback. They need the name of the vessel. So they put out an online poll. They want to know what the people want to call it. And right now, we got a couple names out there. A couple good ones. Ice Baby. That's a good one. Usain Boat. I like that one. Another one. It's Bloody Cold Here. That's all right. But the number one vote getter is Bodie McBoatface. Time of the article is writing at 27,000 votes. So what do you think?
Should Bodie McBoat?
Is that like a is it like a HMS Bodie McBoat face?
Totally. It's gotta be, right? Like guess. HMS Bodie McBoat face. This was proposed it. His name was James Hand. He was a former radio host from the BBC. It just sort of has fun, and then the internet found it and loved it.
Yeah,
it caught
fire. He actually apologized.
Yeah, but I'm all for it. I would love to see Bodie McBoatface cruising the Antarctic seas.
Excellent.
So I love it. Go science. Go internet. We're all winners here, I think, is what we've learned. In the basketball world, big news, Blake Griffin has medically been cleared to play. I think physically. Mentally, I don't know. What do you guys think? Is he going to come back and bring this Clippers team as deep as they think they're going to go? They think they want to go. I think this might be the last good run these guys get if they don't do something. What are you? They're going to blow this team up, right? It's a lot of things I just said at one time.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin's coming back.
Where to start? Is he going to play? He's going to play, obviously. Well, I guess so, right? Although I guess it's taken him a lot longer to come back than they expected. And it hasn't been so much his hand as it is his quad, I guess, is still giving him problems. But no, he's cleared to play, but he still has to serve a 4-game suspension. And then the next question is, does he make them able to make a deep playoff run? And I guess it remains to be seen, because we don't know what version of Blake Griffin you're getting. But they definitely need him to beat a team like Golden State or San Antonio, which is who they would have to beat in order to get to the Western Conference Finals, right? I don't think the Clippers beat the Warriors all year. I think the Warriors swept them 4-0, right?
So. Yeah, they played them tough, though, right? I mean, they were close games, if I recall.
Yeah, it was four sure. solid losses.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. We'll take that.
Steph Curry had to play in the fourth quarter in at least three of those games. So that's a victory, basically. So.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm intrigued to see, though, because they definitely are. I think Chris Paul gives Steph Curry problems. Right, he plays them very physical, and the team is very veteran laden, so they're not going to be afraid of big moments, I don't think. But yeah, so late in the season, it's hard to tell if he'll be able to integrate. I think they've clinched a playoff spot though already. So
yeah, surprisingly, to me.
So they'll be in the 4 spot. It looks like pretty clearly.
And playing. If it started today, they'd be playing Memphis. Which I'm not going to watch that.
No, it's going to be an ugly series. And Memphis is not that good right now.
They're really not very good right now. It doesn't seem like they should be in the playoffs at all the way they're playing.
No.
And yet, here we are.
But maybe it's it'll be Lance Stephenson and Matt Barnes against their old team. Maybe they rally, take them down.
Yeah, those are some angry guys that like to dance. I got nothing. They've got no chance. The Clippers are going to destroy them. I don't even think that's that competitive. It'll be ugly, but yeah, it's probably a sweep.
For the Clippers?
Yep.
I mean, the Clippers' recent playoff history hasn't been all that spectacular either, so.
Yeah. They can get out of the
first round.
But
do you think that this gives them any chance to beat the Warriors or the Spurs?
No.
No.
Okay. So we're destined for a Spurs-Warriors Western Conference Finals. Unless, does anybody give the Thunder a chance to take out the Spurs in the second round?
Give them an outside chance. Like, really outside. But they're clearly the third best team in the West. The two best players that they have are both top 5 guys in the league. They're going to be able to do damage no matter who's guarding them, even if it is San Antonio. Seems like a tall order to beat the Spurs 4 times in 7 games. But best chance, definitely, with the Thunder. I would not put a dime on that thing, though.
They did just beat the Spurs by like 20. But if fans at home are looking at that and saying, ooh, I like this. Should be noted that the Spurs rested Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili, Kawhi Leonard, Tim Duncan, and LaMarcus Aldridge in that game, I think. Aldridge might have played, but yeah.
Yeah.
So that doesn't count.
that's Pop saying to himself, this is a potential team that I could see. They get to see nothing.
Jason, I'll make an argument for the Clippers against the Warriors only because last year Blake Griffin was probably a top 3 or 4 player in the playoffs. He was fantastic. And Chris Paul has quietly had a MVP season yet again because he does it every year. if those guys get incredibly hot and guys like Lance Stevenson and Matt Barnes step up, and I mean, there's an outside chance that they could make this interesting. I'm not saying that anybody's going to beat the Warriors, but I don't want to. I was dismissing it, and if everybody comes to play and plays as hard as they can and plays brilliant basketball, they could make it hard on the Warriors. I still think that's all I'm getting them, but maybe somebody gets hurt.
Just a resounding endorsement there.
And then what was your last question, Joey? Is this their last rodeo? Are they?
Yeah, I mean, basically, if you know, this the big three, Jordan, Chris Paul, and Blake Griffin, you know, they've had several shots at going deep, and they haven't done as well as they, you know, they would have liked. And Chris Paul is getting older. You know, what do you do with this team if they don't, you know, if they don't maybe get to the Western Conference finals or the finals this year?
Sure. And also, it kind of seems like they all hate each other, which is not necessarily conducive to really high level basketball.
But if you hate each other and you win, that's one thing. But
right.
You know.
And also, they have that really weird mascot, which I don't think we've talked about on the podcast yet.
I'm too scared to talk about it.
They unveiled their condor mascot.
Oh, okay, it's Condor.
Yeah, no, not Clippy.
Which everyone hates, apparently.
Yeah, it's a weird-looking mascot. And condors in general, I mean, fantastic birds, sure, and endangered and all that stuff, but not exactly the most attractive animal.
No.
That you...
Well, he's on roller skates, and then therefore he had to wear a helmet to make it seem safe, which makes it awkward. So now you've got a condor with a helmet running roller skates.
One thing led to another. Now we're here.
So does he have to... He wears roller skates all of the time? That's the thing with the mascot?
That's my understanding.
Doesn't that limit the amount of mascot-y things that he can do?
Maybe that's not what he does all the time, but he... You know, no, that's definitely part of his gimmick, is on the skates.
Okay.
So stairs are his number one enemy.
Yes.
And he can't do, like, the power pack thing, the dunk off a trampoline. Or maybe he can. Maybe if you can do that on roller skates, you deserve a gold star. I don't know.
Sure. I don't want to limit him. I don't want to put him in a box. I'm sure he can do other things besides being on roller skates. But he was introduced to me as a roller skating condor. Sure. And I can just imagine being in that committee room where they're like, all right, here's the deal. We'll put him on roller skates. So he's like, okay, but we got to put a helmet on him. Otherwise,
oh yeah, he doesn't always wear roller skates. I'm looking at pictures.
And then now
he apparently always wears knee pads though. Which is a little weird.
And most safety first. Wears a helmet a lot.
That's
what I'm saying.
His name is Chuck the Condor.
Is it Chuck or is it Chuck? Did you have a stutter there? Is it Chuck once or is it Chuck twice?
I think I just said Chuck the Condor.
Okay.
I think your Skype is drunk or something.
Chuck Goose.
I think they were very afraid that they were going to turn it into a terrifying bird like New Orleans did, but they just went way the other way with it.
Yeah.
It's a weird looking dude, and he's just way too happy, and yeah, it's weird. He's got like little frills on his pants. The whole thing's bizarre.
Why does he wear number 213? What is that about?
I don't know. I was wondering that myself.
I will say that when they introduced him at the game, part of the celebration was having Steve Ballmer dunk. Of course, he needed a trampoline, but he did it. He finished it off.
Did he do it on roller skates?
No roller skates, like a coward.
Then I could take it.
Like a coward.
So, what do you do with this team if Chuck the Condor and the Big Three can't win? Who do you keep, or from these? Do you keep Chuck? Do you send him going?
I think we've talked about this a little bit before. Blake Griffin seems to not fit well with that team. personality wise or locker room wise, right? But he's the best player. So you either keep him and shuffle the other chairs on the Titanic that is the Clippers, or you get rid of Blake Griffin, right? That would be my move.
I mean, I've definitely made the argument that CP3 should be the guy that goes, but I think that Blake Griffin has made it very difficult for the team to keep him beating the ever-living hell out of the equipment manager or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just hard to keep that guy, no matter how good he is. So maybe Blake just needs a new start with equipment managers who have less punchable faces.
Well, I mean, Chris Paul is hard to work with, right? I mean, he's just a perfectionist. He's a crazy person. And maybe on the floor, he's getting you the ball in the right spot, but he's demanding a lot. And maybe bad for Blake Griffin. So I would think I would get rid of Chris Paul, but you're not going to get as much in return for him, ultimately, because he's older. And so, yeah, I'd still get rid of Chris Paul. That's what I'd do. Even though Blake Griffin just punched a dude.
Yeah. I mean, I'd take all the phone calls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'd keep either. Yeah, we could trade both of them, sure.
Yeah, you don't have to keep either.
Yeah, let's trade them. But in this scenario, I trade both of them for lots of different pieces and talent. Let's start over. Let's blow this thing up. Because it's not working. I mean, it's working, but it's not going to win you a championship.
Yeah, it's working if your goal is to be a 4 seed in a West. Yeah,
I mean, they're going to win 55 games every year and get the 4 seed.
And lose in the second round.
Sure. If you don't want to do that, you got to blow it up. And I think you trade both of them. That's my new plan.
I think that's dumb. I don't know why you would get rid of both of them.
Just go ahead and call me Steve.
I don't know. I mean, I think that talent, top 10 talent like that is hard to come across in this league. So you definitely don't get rid of both of them. I think that's an insane move.
Well, they're both crazy. They're both knuckleheads. Get good people.
I don't think you can call CP3 a knucklehead.
Yeah, I don't think CP3.
Okay, that's fair. Knucklehead is the wrong term. Difficult to work with might be more fair.
Yeah, I mean, I think that ultimately, unless you just get outrageous offers for both guys, you end up keeping and rebuilding around one. Because you're right, Jason, there's just two guys who are too talented to lose them both. But the road to keeping both seems sort of far-fetched at this point.
Yeah, I mean, but can't you just keep Blake Griffin and get rid of this equipment manager? Like, I know that everybody loves him, but equipment managers aren't, you know. I mean, even if this guy's the top 10 equipment manager in the league, it's not a super valuable position. So you could downgrade there, right?
Sure. I agree. It doesn't say something good when you're maybe to your fan base when you're building around a guy who just assaulted a member of the staff.
Sure. And at the same time, put his season in jeopardy and through your entire team's
and the franchise
goals and franchise under the bus all in one, you know.
Well, several
shochu filled hits. Rage or whatever. Yeah.
Well, and this is, of course, coming on the heels of the Clippers' recent history has been pretty rough, you know, with the
their
the
recent Sterling. History. Their entire history.
No. I mean, so they were a bad basketball team for a long time, but, you know, Sterling,
right.
You know, the last few years has come to light, much bigger light, that he was kind of a jerk a little bit.
You're more racist than Tay.
Yeah, and was banned from basketball forever.
Tay. Do you hear that he and his wife are not completing the divorce or whatever?
Yeah, apparently they're going to reconcile.
Yeah.
Love wins.
Yeah. I feel bad for that lady.
You guys hear the other news coming from the Eastern Conference? LeBron James interviewed All-Star Weekend about his ideal playing conditions. So he just wants to play with his friends, right? Is that what most kids want to do?
Who doesn't?
Yeah, this was weird. So, There was an interview with Howard Beck that I think took place over the All-Star weekend.
Yeah.
Is that right? But somehow it's coming to light now, in which LeBron James said, yeah, I would like to play with Carmelo and Dwayne Wade and Chris Paul all on the same team. I would love to make that happen. Let's make that happen. And he seemed, like, super serious about it. Like, yeah, this is definitely how I want to... The next phase of my career is going to be making this happen. Making all these guys that were drafted in the 04 draft on the same team, a super team, and go get a ring. Which, you know, on the one hand, maybe is whimsical, you know, whatever, banter, saying, you know, yeah, I want to play with my friends. But at the same time, this is a team that's in the middle of, you know, kind of a crisis of leadership at some level, right? They're kind of falling apart, and LeBron James is doing other weird things like unfollowing the Cavs on Twitter and making other weird, strange references through social media and through the media in general. What is going on? Harper, do you have an opinion on what's going on in Cleveland?
I mean, I can't really figure it out. It's very strange. I mean, we've all pointed to LeBron since very early in his career as a great leader and team guy. And this has been certainly very out of character as far as what we've seen. It's hard to know what goes on in locker rooms, right? I mean, maybe we've just always given the guy a bit too much credit. Who knows? Who knows how that plays out at the end of the day, right? Probably only history is going to tell us the answer to that one. But it is clear that he's on a team where he got the coach fired, right? Mm-hmm. Still doesn't quite seem happy. Certainly not doing everything that you think you'd need to do to get the ship righted. If you're serious about beating a team that's as well put together as either the Spurs or the Warriors in a month, they just don't seem anywhere close. And none of this stuff is like major I hate my team kind of stuff, but you put it all together and it's just a bunch of bad. Like, there's just nothing good coming out of Cleveland right now.
Mm-mm.
And it seems to be manifesting itself on the court because they haven't been playing great there either.
Yeah, do you think this situation where LeBron just looks at Golden State and says, my team's not good enough to beat this team, and now I'm just sort of treading water?
I mean, that would defy everything that I thought I knew about LeBron James.
Yeah, I think he's way too much of a competitor to think that. Okay. There's no way that he thinks
that they can't beat the Warriors. So he thinks that he can still beat them?
They were up 2-1 against the Warriors last year in the finals.
I agree that they were, but I don't know that LeBron is convinced that he could beat him this year. I mean, actually, you're right. You're right. LeBron thinks he can beat anybody anytime, but I'm not convinced that he thinks that his teammates are enough to help him beat the Warriors. And or at the very least, he doesn't seem to be giving them the confidence to be able to do it right now if he's unfollowing them. I don't know. And saying I'd wish to hang out with other players besides you guys.
Does all smack a little bit of senioritis.
Yeah. So, sure.
I mean, I think the big question that it raises is, you know, I think we talked a little bit about it a couple weeks ago, is whether or not LeBron James stays with the Cavaliers. It's not something that he has to do. Mm-hmm. He's free to go play on the open market just like everybody else. He's made sure that he's signed short-term deals. And ultimately, is he going to be upset enough to leave? And
that would be absolutely crazy. I mean,
it's not crazy.
I mean, I can see him doing it later, but I mean, the way that he came back to Cleveland, the way that he controlled the signings of all these people and the trades, and then got rid of the coach, and then to just walk away in this offseason would be, I mean, you're right, I guess very doable, but that would be insane to me.
It would be classless.
Yes.
Like going on national TV and throwing up your middle finger at the town as you go.
He was a younger man back then. I forgive him for all that.
I forgive him too. I think that the argument that LeBron is super loyal is a tough one to make these days.
Yeah. I kind of like the theory. I don't know who put it forward, but I heard on the Starters podcast, they were talking about this, that maybe LeBron's just like a little bit of a drama queen.
He's totally,
or more than a little bit, but like he's an attention seeker. And this year, usually he gets accolades for being the best player on the planet, and he's always leading SportsCenter and stuff like that. And this year, it hasn't been that. It's been the Warriors. It's been Steph Curry. He's been supplanted as the greatest basketball player on the planet. And now, like a kid that just wants attention, he's acting out to get into the media cycle.
I mean, I think that I would make a more generous reading of that and say that LeBron is a businessman, and that when your name isn't in the headlines, that affects your multi-billion-dollar brand recognition, right? So throwing a little gasoline on the fire, even if it's not productive, can still make you money. And
yeah,
I don't know. I don't wonder, too, if there isn't something a little bit Belichickian about it. Belichick always has this way of creating imaginary slights and problems.
Sure.
And then going forward and solving those things somehow, even though they never really existed.
Yeah.
And LeBron could be doing
the world is against us situation, even though
that's exactly. No one ever gave us a chance. You were favored by 7. Shut up.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's tough to make that argument here for LeBron simply because it feels like he's sort of actively chucking his own team under the bus to some extent, but it's still a solvable problem. It's something that the team can rally around at some level. You know, the media hates us, or they're blowing this stuff out of proportion, or what have you. But I think it's something that you can play on and make something good out of, but it's not going to happen on its own. You need a great leader to do that. And if that's not going to be LeBron James, certainly not going to be J.R. Smith.
Gentlemen, I think it's about time for a break. If you've not heard from the last show or from the numerous reports, one of our favorite musicians passed away this past week, Fife Dog from A Tribe Called Quest. So we want to use one of the Tribe songs for our Song of the Week. It's a good one. Scenario. It's a good one from, I think, the Low End Theory. But it's got a lot of... a lot of our favorite musicians on this on one track. So, if you've not heard this one by now, go get on whatever service you listen to and listen to a bunch because they are fantastic and I love them very much. I miss Fife and all the music they made. Check it out.
Shout out.
The border, go get a taco. I see record from the jump street, meaning from the get-go. Sit back, relax, and let yourself go. Don't sweat what you heard, but act like you know.
Yes, yes, y'all.
Yes, y'all.
Who got the vibe? It's the Tribe, y'all.
Tribe, y'all.
Vibe, y'all.
Vibe, y'all.
Inside, outside, come around.
Who's that?
Brown. Some may I say, call me Charlie. The word is the herb, and I'm deep like Bob Marley. Lay back on the payback, evolve, rotate the gates.
Contact.
Can I get a hit? With a brother named Tip, and we're ready to flip. East Coast stomping, ripping and romping. New York, North, Kakalaka, and Compton. Check it, check it, check it out. The loops for the troops, more bounds to the ounce. And wow, how now, brown cow. We're ill till the skill gets down for the flex. Next is the textbook, old to the new, but the rest are doo doo. From radio to the video to Arsenio, tell me, yo, what's the scenario?
Scooby
Doo, whoopie doo. Scenarios, radios, rates more than 4. Scores for the scores, that's mother dance floors. Now I go for mine, shades of seashore. Ship shape, crush great, eights to play tapes. Takes make drakes, fake for the weight of an
Ella, Anita.
Simply Jeff the leader. Bass in the space means peace, see you later. Later,
later,
later, alligator. Pop blows a weasel and the earth's an inflator. So yo, the D, what the O? Incorporated INC into a flow. Funk, flip, flat, back, first, fist, foul. Fight, 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 laugh, yo, how that sound?
Ooh.
It's a leader quest mission and we got the goods here.
Yeah.
Never on the left cause my right's my good ear.
Yeah.
I could give a damn about an ill subliminal. Stay away from crime so I ain't no
criminal.
I love my young nation, groovy sensation. No time for hibernation, only elation. Don't ever try to test the water, little kid. Don't miss the bus.
Throughout the sphere, raise the levels of the boom. inside the ear. You know I did it, so don't violate or you'll get violated. The hip-hop sound is well agitated. We'll never waste no time on a played-out ego. So here's Busta Rhymes with the scenario.
Watch as I combine all the juice from the mind. Heal up, wheel up, bring it back, come rewind. Powerful impact, boom, from the cannon. Now bragging, try to reap a mind. Just imagine, vocabulary's necessary when digging into my library. Oh my gosh, oh my gosh. Eating, I do stew like the one pizza tosser. All over the track, man. Pardon me, as I come back. As I did, I had to bang.
You guys saw the Tribe Doc, right?
I still have not seen that, man.
What?
You said it was really good, right?
Super good. I don't know where you can find it now, but...
Yeah.
On the interwebs somewhere.
Yeah, the internet has to have it somewhere.
I'll find a
if
way.
If they can name a boat, Boaty McBoatface.
Thanks to Tribe Called Quest for doing all the stuff that they did. Next, we want to get into the bottom of the brackets, the East and the West, Western Conferences. The 7 and 8 seeds, kind of a jumble. Pacers sitting, as of recording time, at 7th, just above the Bulls and the Detroit Pistons. Very, very close. Who's going to come out with those last two spots, and who's going to be left out? Colson, do you have any strong feelings one way or another in the East?
I do.
You said you wanted the Pacers out. you said specifically wanted lottery balls.
Yeah.
Lottery balls over glory, you said.
That's right. That's right. None of that was said. I am convinced that the Pacers end up in the playoffs. I thought that Boston would collapse and the Pacers would get strong here down the stretch and maybe we could flip-flop spots. That's still in play here. Boston has the end of the season's rough for them, and Pacers have an easier road. However, the Pacers still aren't playing fantastic basketball. I also think that Detroit will probably get in over the Bulls. That's my prediction. So I think the Bulls are on the outside looking in, particularly when the Pacers beat them. Coming up here this week. So even though I'm a little bit nervous about it, I think we make the playoffs.
I do want to give a special shout out to you, Colson, for saying that on last week's show that the Celtics were going to plummet like a stone in the sea. And then they won 4 straight games.
They did. Without Jay Crowder, awesome. Who I was wrong about. He is still not back.
Yeah. They're still only like 4 games up on us. They could still collapse. I'm still... You know, it's still in play, team.
Sure. I think you got it right, though. I mean, I think that the Pacers, given the schedule that we have left, unless we implode, which is totally possible for this team, who knows? But we should be able to stay above. So as we record this on Sunday, we're 2.5 games ahead of the Bulls. Is that right?
Yes. Yep. Correct.
And... hopefully we'll beat them on Tuesday and be even further. I mean, the Bulls, just something's not right with them.
Yeah.
Shout out to Superfan Chairman, who I had a conversation with about probably a month ago and was like, are the Bulls going to make the playoffs? And he was like, yeah, no. So something's not been right with the team all year, and it ain't getting better anytime
soon. But they just had yet another team meeting after they lost to Orlando. So how could it not be right? Team meetings solve everything.
Sure. Yeah, what did they lost by 20 to Orlando?
Oh, they got smacked. Yeah. They got demolished. And that was the third game that they lost in a row. They lost a home and away to the Knicks.
Home and away to the Knicks.
Lost them both. So the third team that would be in the mix would be the Wizards of... Washington, D.C. However, they play 7 of their last 10 on the road. I don't like their chances, and they have the most ground to make up. So I think it is between Detroit and Chicago. Detroit's finishing up, what, like an 8-game homestand? But their last two, after having lost to Atlanta, are OKC and Dallas, who I don't have a lot of faith in them to beat, even at their house. And then they play four of their last six on the road, but they've got Chicago, Miami twice, and Cleveland in there. I don't think they can do it. I still think it's the Bulls to lose.
Right.
Interesting.
Do we think
it's going to be close? It's going to be a
motivation
race
wise. Do we think the Bulls? Do they think that the organization, did they want to get into the playoffs, or would they prefer to just call it a season and get some lottery balls?
No, they definitely want to get into the playoffs.
What a disappointing
season for
them.
Their owner is the cheapest, most businesslike man in the NBA, and he wants that playoff gate, no question.
You do. You get the you get the tickets, and then you get money for TV too. Mm-hmm. And I think getting whatever you get like 1% of the balls in the lottery. You don't get you don't get much of a chance. You've got to do it right, like Philadelphia.
They're getting work in,
right? Yeah, I mean, I think they've committed to that lifestyle, and it's paid off.
And how?
Is next year going to be the year that they finally stop tanking? I feel like it has to be, right?
No. Yeah.
I don't know that they'll ever stop tanking.
No.
Well, they have to stop at some point, don't they?
They can keep making money as an organization doing this, because the way that they'll...
It's like a sideshow, you know?
Money.
You know, you say to your buddy, like, look at these guys who can't win a game. You know, it's like, why not? Yeah. They could win. They could win. You see him, he's like, no, they can't win.
So they'll pick up Ben Simmons, who will be a flop.
Right.
They'll destroy his career. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, we've talked about for years that they needed to get somebody who they could build around. And Okafor is that guy, regardless of what they do this year, right? So,
right.
It's time to try and start developing the talent that they have, you would think.
Yeah, and that means bringing in veterans, because you can't have all these young kids teaching each other how to play the game. I feel like they need some culture creators on that team.
Doesn't seem like it's been very effective thus far.
Yeah, they need to do that in the offseason if they actually want to get better at some point. Because otherwise it's just a bunch of 20-year-olds teaching each other how to play basketball. I think Charlotte's playing really good basketball right now. I really thought we might be able to catch them, but I'm not so sure now. My only hope still is the Boston plummets. You're saying, Harper, that Chicago and Detroit are actually in a battle for this thing?
Yep.
All right. Washington's out for sure. So,
I mean, they got Beal back. They could rip off some wins, but they've got the toughest road in there.
I don't want to play Cleveland or Toronto. I really want to get to that sixth seed. So we got to do some work. We got to sweep this week.
Yep. I think the more interesting race almost is in the Western Conference, though. Mm-hmm. Which, if we could spend a few minutes chatting about that. So, let's see. In the bottom half of the bracket right now, Memphis is in fifth. Portland, sixth. Utah 7th, Houston 8th, and Dallas 9th. Although I guess this race didn't get super... is getting less interesting by the day, since Dallas just lost Chandler Parsons for the rest of the season. He's got to have surgery on his knee. Any of these teams that you're excited about that could make some noise in the playoffs?
Trailblazers, baby.
Yeah, without a doubt. No, I'm with you.
That was a softball.
Yeah.
How does 38 and 36 get you the sixth seed in the Western Conference?
I'm shocked.
I know you're not going to argue with it.
It's a different West than it used to be, my friend.
Yeah.
It really is. I'm shocked. I mean, when we were doing our preseason analysis, I think somebody had a 41-win team making the playoffs, and I was like, that's garbage. That can't happen. But, you know, here we are. That could happen.
It looks like Utah's getting in. I'm excited about that. They've been, you know, on the up and up for the last couple of years. And,
hate
you know,
Utah.
They're,
they're,
I think, lovable as
They get spanked by San Antonio in the first round. It'd be great.
I'll enjoy watching that.
I would like to see Portland climb up to that fifth spot if they can, which is a total possibility because Memphis could drop because they basically are a walking MASH unit right now. And then that would mean that they would get to play the Clippers in the first round, which we talked about earlier, have issues.
Right.
Especially in the playoffs, they have issues. Right?
They could take that team deep.
Yep. They could definitely scare the heck out of that team.
Big game Dame, CJ.
But I would love to see Lance and Matt Barnes against their old team in the playoffs. That would be highly entertaining.
Yeah, I would love to see them move up. They're only two games, or two and a half games, I guess, inside the playoffs right now. So they've still got quite a bit of work to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But they do have a home heavy schedule to end. Only got two on the road. One of them's on Golden State, but I guess everybody has to play Golden State sometime. So
sure.
Well, Dallas is in a free fall here. They've lost three in a row. They're 2-8 over the last 10. You talked about their injuries.
And then Parsons happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
aren't going well for them. And you know, I think I predicted at the beginning of the season that they'd win 50 games because that's what Carlisle does every year. He takes a ragtag group and puts them in the playoffs. And you know, I respect Carlisle and Nowitzki, and I would really like to see them in the playoffs. And also, I just really want the Boost and Rockets to fall out. Screw those guys. Screw Clutch.
I don't know. I think it would be fairly rewarding for me to watch Golden State just absolutely demolish that team.
Okay.
In the first round of playoffs. All right. That might be okay.
It might be better than demolishing the Mavericks. I'm with you.
I'd rather see the Spurs demolish them, really, because they would physically beat the hell out of them in the process. But
oh, see, you're making this make me feel better there, Harper.
Yeah,
making this right.
That's what I'm here for.
Appreciate you.
And I think Denver would have to do something amazing to get into the playoffs. They're five games out, and they're not very good. So Dallas out, Denver out. All that really remains in the West is the shuffling from 5 to 8.
Yep. Yeah, because the top half of that bracket seems totally set. Right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Nobody's mentioned the Los Angeles Lakers. They're only 15 games back with less than 15 to play.
Actually, they're 20, but who's counting?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're 20. They are 50 behind the Golden State Warriors.
And I don't think they have the tiebreaker.
50 games.
They split the season series, right?
Right.
They did beat them once.
They beat them once.
They did beat them once. It's true.
There's only 7 teams in the league that can say that.
So, right.
Which is pretty insane.
So Phoenix and is above them. Minnesota, of course, these guys are not going to make the playoffs. Do we feel about Minnesota's next year? Do we think anybody going to call them for the playoffs next year?
I mean, in this West, it's possible.
I don't know. I do it every year. Keep thinking that Minnesota's year is next year, and it hasn't yet happened. But Karl-Anthony Towns is the real deal. Like, this kid is Rookie of the Year. He is a once-in-a-generation player. That should help.
How many once-in-a-generation players are in the league right now?
Okay.
A dozen.
He's a once-every-2 or 3 year player.
Good question.
Okay. He's the best player of the last 2 years.
The generations are shorter these days.
Right.
Well, it's like Colson's top 25 Pacers of all time.
Yeah, it changed.
It's like, you know, once in a generation is really 30 times in a generation.
Yeah, exactly. There are 50 guys in my top 25, so we're good.
Yeah, no, I agree. I'm excited next year. Maybe the Blazers and the Timberwolves can have really good showings. That would be exciting for me.
I guess we haven't talked about it enough on this show, but the way that the Trailblazers have capitalized on this season is just incredible. They lost 4 of their 5 starters from their roster last year, and they're going to make the playoffs this year.
In the West.
In the Western Conference. Mm-hmm. That's insane. That's an amazing feat.
Yep.
I mean, who's the common denominator between those 2 years?
Big Game Dame.
Video Game Dame.
Myers Leonard.
Myers Leonard. Don't sleep on Myers Leonard. Mason. He's my 50-40-90 guy.
And Terry Stotts. Terry Stotts is a legit. He might be entering that group of NBA coaches that make a difference, right? Like, if you have that guy as your coach, you're going to be pretty decent.
Yeah, sure. We'll talk about him, you know, come Undebeat Award time as we talk about all the categories. Mm-hmm. Who's the runner-up to whoever the Warriors person
is? Exactly. I don't think they'll get Rookie of the Year this year. That's the only award they won't get.
No.
They also left out the Sacramento. I guess they're really only 6.5 games back from the 8th spot, but those dudes aren't going.
No. Although it would be kind of hilarious if they did.
I don't know. When's the last time the Kings made the playoffs? It's been
10 years.
10 years?
Yep.
That's rough, man. You know, we got lucky as Pacer fans. It's, you know, this Easter, it's a good time of Thanksgiving.
No, that's Thanksgiving, Jimmy.
We're lucky to have a good team like the Pacers, who generally have a winning record, generally make the playoffs, are generally well run, have likable players for the most part, take their basketball seriously, don't allow too many knuckleheads. You know, you can't say, like, when the brawl happened, they blew up that team. Everyone associated with the brawl got shipped out except the ownership. So mm-hmm. good on you, mm-hmm. Pacers.
Took a few years. Took a couple of years.
I mean, yeah, it did. Well, you can't just, you know, you want to get some return on your investment, but, you know, those guys were tainted.
So, 9 games left for the Pacers. And, yeah, it'll be over before we know it. We could win 7 of these, right, and be 46 win team. That's doable, right?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Yeah, we got this.
Yeah. Although because of the playoff positioning, I think that's going to make the Friday, April 8th game at Toronto very, very interesting.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I like it. I think Vogel should, maybe we can't risk it because we'll be still, could fall out of the playoffs, but be sweet if he pulled a Popovich and just didn't show them anything.
Sat everyone.
Just sat Paul George. Although Paul George is not going to let that happen. It seems like he wants to play 82 games this season. That was a goal that he had going into the year. And despite a bone bruise last week, he fought through it.
Yeah.
And it's still played.
You can give him the start and then yank him at the 5-minute mark in the first quarter.
Sure.
They used to do that with Manning, didn't they? Like towards the end of the season.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
Just real briefly, the Celtics last games here at the Clippers, at the Trailblazers, at the Warriors, at the Lakers, New Orleans, Milwaukee, at Atlanta, Charlotte, and Miami. So it's possible that they could only win 3 of those games.
Mm-hmm.
It's possible that they could win two.
At Warriors, that's a dub.
Yeah. We could still catch them, is all I'm saying. That's our only hope, because, yeah, everybody else is going to... They've all got too much of a lead on us. They're, you know, they've got 2 or 3 3.5 games on us, so gotta catch those.
So you would rather play Atlanta in the first round than
I don't want to play Toronto or man, I don't
want to play Cleveland. Number, man. Atlanta owns us. I feel like
Charlotte owns us. Atlanta owns us. Yeah, maybe Toronto.
I feel like
better.
We compete with Toronto.
Yeah, okay. Toronto or Miami is who I want to see. Hell, maybe Cleveland at this point. The way they're
I feel like I wouldn't
apart.
Mind playing Cleveland in the first round.
Yeah, but basically I want to avoid at all costs Charlotte and Atlanta.
Okay.
I don't know how we do that.
Well, you say
sit pat.
Do not jump Boston. So exactly. With this plan that you seem to be obsessed with, that's what you don't want to happen.
I just feel like we can beat Miami in this, and that's who I want to play because I think we can beat them.
And we're not going to get up to the fifth seed. There's no way.
Eh.
Eh. I guess you're saying Miami could get to the third seed,
right?
And
that's
we get
what I'm
the
saying.
Sixth seed. I see. I see.
Well, by the next time we podcast, we're going to know a lot more about, I guess, how the end of the season is going to shake out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited. The end of the season's coming up. We got the playoffs. Playoffs are always fun. Even worst case scenario, playoffs are awesome. You know, mm-hmm. If the Pacers are out, you get to watch.
You watch your mouth, Gefrida.
I'm just trying to let myself down. I would just, like, you do the same thing. Yeah, nah, you know what I mean. You do the same thing. You
try to put a positive spin on it. And,
yeah.
Keep the expectations good and low.
Expectations low. That way, if they do okay, then you're happy.
Everything else is gravy.
Yeah, exactly. But the playoffs are a fun time of the year. You get to watch tons of fun basketball. I've got a lot of good memories with you guys watching games. Falling asleep because the West Coast games start at like 4 a.m. my time or whatever. was that like three years ago? Curry just, this is before the Warriors were the team that they are now, but Curry was getting going, just lighting it up, 20 points in a quarter or something. Just, it was a good time.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'd do it again.
Yeah. There may be more of those in his future.
Mm-hmm. Anything else, gentlemen?
Go Pacers. Need a sweep.
Yeah, we need a sweep.
Sweep.
Well, we've already gotten two, right? So we just need two more.
So we have a final four, I guess. Just want to update that.
Four.
Oh, yeah.
UNC, Syracuse, Villanova, and Oklahoma.
Wow, I don't care. Don't care about those teams.
Notre Dame did not win.
Syracuse is number 10 seed, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. I like pulling for the underdogs.
Go Oregon.
Wait, they're not Harper.
Oh.
They're not in it. Sorry, buddy.
That about wraps it up this time. Until next time, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Undebeatables. We are on Facebook.com/TheUndebeatables. Our website is TheUndebeatables.com. There's a contact form there. You can send us all a message. You can review us on iTunes. Really helps new listeners find our show. We got t-shirts for sale on the store.
For a once and always coach, Bobby Slick Leonard. Turn out the lights. The party's over.
Nice.
This is good. What style would you consider that?
I don't know. Last week, you guys were pleased by my not terrible singing, so I just was... I don't know. I'm trying to respond
that was
to that.
A little... That sounded like the Willie Nelson version a little bit.
Yeah, I'm trying to respond to your positive feedback.
See, that's kind of what I was talking about. Our expectations are super low, and when it's good, you know, when it's okay.
I don't think, yeah, I don't think it's happy. Ever been good, Joey. I don't think I wouldn't give me that. But
do you guys know how to run an auto tune? We could do this.
No, I don't.
I don't know what that means.
Can you just like download a program from the?
I think so.
The internets.
Oh, I'm sure. I think there's like plugins for the audio editing programs. There's got to be an app. There's an app for that.
It's called Singy McSingface.
Oh, you got to copyright that quickly.